Amen. Thank God for the flag and for the country of America. We are blessed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The message the Lord's laid on my heart this morning is our spiritual 4th of July. I'd like to say just a couple of things about our country. First, our Declaration of Independence was to express the ideals of individual liberty and the philosophy of the need of freedom. The Declaration put forth the grievances against the King for the world to know the reason behind the breaking of bonds between the colonies and the mother country. It laid out the philosophy of government by stating that a government can rule only with the consent of those being governed, and that the purpose of government is the protection of its people's rights. The second line of the Declaration of Independence says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Praise God. We can be thankful for the freedom that we have to praise and worship God and stand before Him and this country as sons and daughters of God, and let them know what we believe and who we are. Praise the Lord. Let's open prayer. Father, we come before You right now. Again, in that wonderful name of Jesus, we want to thank You that You gave us freedom. You gave us Your life. And Father, as we read Your Word today and we talk about it, Lord, we want the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom and the understanding for each and every one of us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Luke 4:18 and 19, if you would. And I see this as Jesus' declaration of our independence and freedom. He made a statement to the people in this church that day. It was a Jewish synagogue. This is the first message He gave. This was His beginning statement to talk to the world. He was quoting out of Isaiah 61. In Luke 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's quite a declaration. And He did it for you and me. Praise God. You're here today because the freedom that Jesus gave and He paid for, and all we have to do is accept it. And I believe you are here because you have accepted that. But that's pretty much what He came to do, to heal the brokenhearted. Before you were born again, you had a broken heart. Whether you know it or not, you had a broken heart. And He came to heal that. And He did, if you received Him. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. You may not have known it, but you were bound spiritually. Before you got saved, you were bound by the world, by the world system, by your own flesh, and by the enemy. And to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind. Now that's two ways, spiritually and physically. But first, it has to be spiritual. God wants you to see spiritually where you're at so you can see where you're going. If you can't see spiritually, you can't see the end of your life. If you want to know God's will for your life, you've got to find out where everything started, where you began, and then what the end result will be. God's Word tells me the beginning and the end and the will for God's life every day in between. In John 8:36, He says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That means free to do righteousness. You know, we quote that scripture, and it's right. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, how did you get it? You got it because Jesus gave you His righteousness.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, you got to know something right up front. Your flesh cannot keep and do the righteousness of the law or the Word of God. It's not possible. But your spirit man can, and you can control your flesh where your spirit man can do the righteousness of the law. Now, if you try and keep the law with your natural man, you ain't going to make it. Nobody ever did. Nobody ever has, except Jesus. And He did it. And then He gave us His passing grade. Oh, hallelujah. If the Son makes you free, you are free. What if we lose our freedom in our country? You're still free. Because you're free inside. Hallelujah. And if they kill you, that's just a quick passport to heaven. That's all that is. Sure, those here will miss you, but boy, you ain't going to let it bother you. Right, Dean? You better believe it. Freedom. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us our 4th of July when He come up out of that grave. Galatians 5:1. I'm going to read it in New King James first and then out of the New Living Testament. Or New Living Translation says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You received your liberty when you got born again. Jesus made you free. And you have that no matter what anybody else does to you. The only thing that can take your freedom away from you is you. You're the one that would stop yourself from having freedom by your thinking process or listening to the devil's garbage that he likes to talk to everybody with. How many know the devil's a liar? He can't tell the truth. He can quote the Word of God and still be lying. He's a liar. So don't believe anything he says, because it don't matter what he says, it's wrong. Galatians 5:1 in the New Living Translation says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. You know, we talk a lot about churches that are put themselves under law, and a lot of them have religion, get religious. Brother and sister, you don't want religion. You want Jesus. Religion will put you under law. Jesus sets you free. I have liberty and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about days I don't feel like it? And what does your feelings have to do with it? All they do is slow you down and get your mind on you. You know, that's most people's problem. That's what causes depression. Your mind's on you. I'd get depressed too if I only thought about me all the time. Good Lord, I hate me. I hate the outer man. I don't like me. But I like Christ in me. I like my spiritual man. I'm right before God, and I have His freedom, and all I do is have to make the choice to walk in it. Some days that's a hard thing, because some days, how many have noticed, your flesh gets up on the wrong side of bed, and it wants to stay there all day. Well, it's your choice whether you allow it or not. My choice. That's a funny thing, isn't it, though? Everybody can tell that you got up on the wrong side of the bed. If you work around people, you get around your wife or your husband, you get around somebody, they can tell that you're still on the wrong side of the bed. We proclaim it with our mouth and our body language and our attitudes. Ooh. Let me ask a question. Is there anybody in here that's never got up on the wrong side of the bed all their life? Not one time. Didn't think I'd see any hands. I certainly wouldn't dare put mine up. Go to Romans chapter 7. I think I'm reading this out of the New King James Version. I didn't always put down the translation I was using, but I think that's it. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's the man that wants to read the Word of God. That's the man that wants to go to church. That's the one that wants to live right and have the joy of the Lord of his strength. And that's our choice whether we do or not. But that's that inward man that delights in the things of God. Hallelujah. I choose to delight. Then he says in 23, but I see another law. I see the sin nature, and that's what he's talking about here. I see the sin nature in my members. He's talking about your natural man. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me, that's your born again spirit, into captivity to the law of sin or the sin nature which is in my members. Now, did that confuse anybody there? How quick does it take to get the flesh going? How quick does it take to get mad? That's right. Your sin nature immediately took over your spirit and put it in a cell and locked the door and hopes he never gets back out. Anger does that. Now you've got to do something spiritually to overcome that. And it's a choice. How many have a mind? Okay, everybody's got a mind. Well, I'm here to tell you, you got two. You got a natural mind, and you got a spiritual mind. And in your spiritual mind is the presence of the Holy Ghost, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's big enough to overpower your sin nature if you choose to. See, we're talking about spiritual freedom here. We're talking about our spiritual 4th of July. We thank God for the freedom we have in this country above any country we know of. But thank God I have a spiritual freedom that nobody can stop. Hallelujah. And I choose to put my natural man under in the jail, in the mental jail. Put that natural man in that mental jail and that sin nature and let your spiritual man have the freedom and rule the natural man. You think Paul didn't have that problem? He says, he's the one that's preaching right here to the Romans. He says, I see another law in me. I see a sin nature in me. And it's in my members. Isn't that interesting that your spiritual members, your spiritual body, your spiritual members want to do what's right, love on people, forgive people, do what's right all the time, and your sin nature, the old flesh, it didn't get saved, never can get saved. Thank God you can't take it with you. When your spirit gets up and goes out of your physical body, it's dead. Amen. Now, we're going to get to that in a little bit, so I'll leave that alone. But notice what he says in verse 24. He's talking about the natural or the sin nature man being in control and causing his spiritual man to not be able to do what it needs to. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. The word wretched here means distressed and miserable. Oh, miserable man that I am. Well, your flesh gets that way. But then he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, that's one ray of hope there. Deliver means something, it can be done about it. Who will deliver me? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's the answer, isn't he? So then with the mind, I myself, and that's talking about your born-again spirit, he's talking out of his born-again spirit here, serve the law of God. Now that law of God includes the righteousness of the law that Moses gave, that God gave through Moses. There's the righteousness of the law that your flesh can't keep, but your spirit man can. It also includes the whole New Testament. Your spirit man can do what the New Testament teaches that we can do. Why was Jesus able to do the law and keep it? You gotta remember, he never let his flesh take over one time. Now that, my natural man cannot grasp that. I don't even get by one day. I'm talking about after we get born again. How many have never sinned since you got born again? Man, you're doing great. Wouldn't that be nice? But see, that sin nature is still alive in your flesh. He still wants to have his way. But Jesus gave you the key. Through the blood of Jesus, we can do it. Now, they should not have put, go right on to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. They shouldn't have put a break there. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no, the word condemnation, it means there's no sentence pronounced with a suggestion of the punishment to follow. If you've ever been to court and a sentence was pronounced upon you, it probably wasn't what you wanted. God says there is no condemnation to your born-again spirit, to those who are in Christ Jesus. Even when you stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, there's still going to be no condemnation on your born-again spirit. He took care of that on the cross for you. Hallelujah. We condemn ourselves. We put a sentence on ourselves, but God don't. God don't put a condemnation on you. So recognize when you're under condemnation that it's you or the devil doing it. It isn't God. And you don't have to stay there. You can go into the Word of God. You get your born-again spirit going. And you can think and praise God and worship Him and thank God for who you are in Christ. Ask forgiveness if you've done something wrong. That takes care of it. How long does it take God to forgive you? Well, how long does it take you to forgive somebody? If you mean it, it's instant. If you mean it, it's instant. Well, God means it. When you ask forgiveness, it's instant and it's done. If it wasn't, how long would it take you to count your sins and take Him how many years to forgive you of all your sins that you've already did? I'm glad you don't do it the way we think, aren't you? He's forgiven us. There's no condemnation. Well, that brings up a point. God has delivered you through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have received Him as your personal Savior. You are set free. Now the question is, how long is it going to take you to deliver you? It's in our mind that we have to work it out and do penance. Or if we've somebody that's sinned against us and we don't like them anyhow, we don't want to forgive them. How long should it take us to forgive them? That instant, yes. What does it do to you if you forgive? Sets you free. It delivers you from that jail that you put yourself in. What happens if you don't forgive yourself? Or forgive them for what they've done to you. What do? You put yourself in a jail and you stay there. You know, it's a lot harder sometimes to forgive others than it is forgive yourself. You got to have a thought process to live it, lining up with the Word of God to have the ability to forgive yourself and mean it. How many know the devil spends time in your graveyard? Where God buried everything, and He wants you to bury everything. The devil wants to go in that graveyard and keep putting them thoughts in your mind and stop you from forgiving yourself so you can put yourself under condemnation. He don't have to. God don't. All He wants to do is get your mind going there. But if you don't know that you're free, if you don't know that you've got a spiritual 4th of July that you can celebrate any day, any time you want, If you're that bad off, go get communion and take it. Forgive yourself. You know, people have been healed when they forgive themselves. They've taken communion, forgiven themselves, and trusted the Lord, and they've been healed from it. But the biggest healing sometimes isn't physical, it's mental. It's your thinking process. And we all have problem with it. But God wants you free. Did Adam have any problem with sin before he sinned? Dumb question, huh? Think about it. None of that stuff ever bothered him. His flesh didn't bother him. He didn't have a flesh problem. He didn't think about the things of the flesh. He didn't know what they were. He only thought about God and the things of God and praising God and loving God and doing what God said. He just thought about being in the will of God all the time. Nothing else bothered him. He didn't have no problems. Well, see, when you and I get born again, we get reestablished in our spirit with God, the same as Adam was before he sinned. So spiritually, we need to go back and be like Adam before he sinned and not allow our flesh to be a problem to us. You say, is that possible? Go ask God. I'm not asking you to believe what I say. I'm asking you to believe the Word of God that you've got in your lap there. That's what tells me that I'm free. Because some days I don't feel free. And I have a hard time getting my mind back on track where it belongs. Am I the only one that has that problem? I didn't think so. We all fight that. See, that's the part of us that the devil had access to in the Garden of Eden that God said, flesh you shall eat. In other words, he can have access to our natural mind. He can't mess with your spiritual mind. And when your spiritual mind is overpowering and controlling your natural mind, now you have the devil under your feet and he has to stay there. It's all that thinking process. If you don't believe you're free, you could go to jail and they leave the door open. You'd still stay in there because mentally you're in jail. God's opened the door. He's took the key away, threw it away. He has no doors on. He don't have jails. Freedom. We're free. So Paul was trying to describe this and talk to the Romans about it. Verse 2 in Romans 8, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking about the life of Christ in your born-again spirit. It's not something, you know, too many years I was taught in the Pentecostal church that, you know, the Holy Ghost is out here and that he's going to come do it for me. Well, they didn't understand the Word of God. I'm finally getting a hold of it. He's inside of me and all he's waiting for me to make the decision to let him move. He's waiting for me to decide that the Word of God is more important in my life and that it'll do what it said, whether I feel like it or not. I can shut my feelings off. I know that's hard for some people to do, but you can shut your feelings off. Some days you need to talk to yourself and tell yourself, shut up. Because your natural mind can get very loud. Get your spiritual man loud. You know, some people are afraid of the sound of their own voices. When I was young and I was, all of us in my family sang and we just enjoyed it. And my sister married a guy that he wouldn't even talk loud. He didn't like the sound of his own voice. Well, if you're going to be a singer, you better get used to the sound of your voice because somebody's got to hear it and so do you. See? Don't be afraid of. You know, a person, I've watched this, most of the time when you're afraid of the sound of your own voice, you're afraid to let the Spirit of God move in you because you're afraid you're going to make a mistake. Well, how many know you're going to make a mistake? Doing the will of God in your life, you're going to make mistakes. Big deal. If people love you, they just say, come on, let's get up and let's keep on going. If somebody don't like you, they're going to stomp on you. Well, how are you going to take it? How are you going to handle it? What are you going to do with the freedom that you have in you? You say you're sorry, and then you give them forgiveness, and you walk away and go on in your walk with God and praise the Lord. If that person doesn't receive the forgiveness, that's their problem, it's not yours. You're in freedom. You have the freedom and the joy of the Lord as your strength. The biggest problem you've got is the one you see in the mirror. Because that's the one you have to deal with all the time, and that's the thinking process that you've got to deal with. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice that word has, past tense, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, when am I going to feel it? You may never feel it if you go by your feelings. Is the Word of God, well, how else do I say it? If the Word of God less important than your feelings, or is the Word of God more important than your feelings? Which one do you believe? Well, yeah, but I'm in pain. Well, is that pain bigger than the Word of God? Is it more powerful than the Word of God? It is not. I don't know whether to say that or not. Sometimes you are your only pain. I better stop there. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, or it depended on what the flesh did. Oh, I like this next statement. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He did it. Now you got to accept it. This here statement that we just read here, this is why He looks at our bodies as on the cross in the place of Jesus. See, if you don't get your body, your physical thought processes on that cross with Jesus, them thought processes will control your life instead of die. See, He's not asking you to put the physical body and kill it up there so that you can die and go to heaven. That's not what He's saying here. He's saying put the thought processes of the natural man, the sin nature, on the cross, let him die so your spiritual man can be in control and you can go and do what God's called you to do and you can treat people like you treat Jesus. Or let me reword that. Treat people as though they were Jesus. That's the tough part. How many have people in your life that all you got to do is look at them and you're ticked? Got the problem. They don't look like Jesus, they don't act like Jesus, and I ain't going to treat them like Jesus. That's what the flesh man wants to do. I know I'm not alone, because I see all smile on your faces. You've got the problem. But then why do we have the right to want people to treat us like Jesus, but we don't want to treat them like Jesus? I thought it was a two-way street, isn't it? I'm still learning on that one. You know, I don't want to put you on the spot, Dean, but have you had any problem with people since you come back? Or has everything been perfect? Oh, you have? Oh, my. What'd you say, Marilyn?
His wife.
His wife especially. Well, ain't nobody knows me like my wife. Thank God she loves me unconditionally. Man, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, you're born again spirit. Your life in Christ Jesus is greater than your fleshly man. For verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteous commandment or requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to your born-again spirit. The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled through our born-again spirit. Your natural man cannot keep the righteousness of the law. It's impossible. If you're depending on what you do to make it in, you ain't going to make it in. Not to heaven. You make it to hell, but you won't make it to heaven. The sin nature in you will take you straight to hell. You say, well, God made it just for the devil and his angels. Yeah, that's what He made it for. But if you're following the devil, you got to go where he's going. You're going to go where whoever you follow. You follow Jesus, you'll go to heaven. You follow the devil, you go to hell. It's just that simple. If that's too blunt and tough. God's word is God's word. Now go back to Romans chapter 6. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now the word we there is talking about our born again spirit. But our old man was crucified with him. This is how God looks at you on the cross. You were crucified with Jesus. So if he took your place, and he did, in other words, you were there with him on that cross, and you died. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're accepting the fact that your flesh no longer has the right to be in control of anything in your life. Have you ever seen a person get up out of a coffin and do anything? Not if they're dead. The dead body don't do anything. It has no life in it. So, if you're dead to the natural ways and to the sin nature, then you're going to be doing more right than wrong. Hallelujah, and that's the way he wants it. Praise God. Notice verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. How many notice that when you go to sleep at night, your body sleeps at night, supposed to anyhow, and you get up the next morning, that body gets right up there and wants to have its own way immediately. It didn't die. It ain't dead. But the thinking process up here is what's supposed to be dead. Not the physical. You can't go serve Jesus and love people and do what God's called you to do if you don't have a physical body to do it in. So he don't want the outer man, physical part dead. He wants the thinking process of the sin nature that's in your thinking. He wants that to be dead, where you're free from sin. See, that was your 4th of July freedom. That was your declaration. When you declared Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you didn't know it, but you declared, flesh, I put you out of commission, you can no longer run my life. We're really saying both things at the same time. We just ain't been taught yet. Now we're getting taught. Now we got enough. And if you think that you're just going to go on with your life the normal for the next few weeks and you don't think this is going to bother you, it's going to bother you. Because when you get a new revelation from the Word of God, it means your flesh has got less control and your spirit's getting more control, and it's going to bother you. I've been teaching out there on the Friday night Bible study now for about, 4 or 5 months on the thought processes. And ever since I've been teaching that, my thought processes are bothering me more than they ever have. Why? Because I'm getting more light than I've ever had in my thinking process and how I'm supposed to think. And my conscience, where the Holy Spirit dwells, it puts up a flag every time the flesh gets its way. It puts up a flag and says, don't go there. Your conscience do that? You ever had your conscience do that? Put up flag up and says, hey, don't go there. You notice it's not a green flag, it's a red one. Well, verse 6 there of Romans, we got to go back to that for a second, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. If you don't kill that thinking process, that sin nature process, if you don't kill it, you will become a slave to it. Anybody ever had your body control you? I won't go there. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, that means your own body was on the cross with him, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, I like that part, don't you? Well, now, when he said that, we shall also live with him, is he talking about now or later? Both. We know we get to live with Christ there. We know we're going to heaven. We know it's wonderful there. We've had Dean go there to come back and tell us about how glorious it is. We know that's going to happen. But he wants us to live in victory now. Amen. He wants us to have the glory of the Lord on us now. Amen. We can have that. Praise God. Verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Well, when you're born again spirit, death has no more dominion over it. All that word death there means is separation from God. Your born-again spirit will never be separated from God again if you follow Him. I'm not preaching that once saved, always saved. I don't believe that. Don't agree with it. I'll have no part of it. But you don't have to be born or separated from God ever again. Death happens to the natural body. That's the kind of death that it disintegrates, it rots, goes back to dirt. I don't care how pretty you are, your body's just dirt. Or how handsome you may be. It's just dirt. And it's going back to dirt. But that man inside of you, hallelujah, it's getting more like Jesus and it's alive and it's going to stay alive through eternity. Let me ask you a question. When did eternity begin? When's it going to end? So, you don't know when you're going to end, do you? Fact is, you're not going to end. You can't. Isn't that neat? 1,100,000,000 years from now, you'll just enjoy life. You have no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death, no bills to pay. No. Wow. Isn't that good? That's freedom. That's where our 4th of July is taking us. Praise God. Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once and for all. For the life that he lives to God. The life that you live to God. He died your death. You entered that with him as far as your physical process and physical man was concerned. So that you now have his life and you live to God. So if you're living to yourself, there's something wrong. Where's God at if you're living for yourself? Oh, but I don't do it all the time. Well, get less and less. That's what we're supposed to do. Our spirit lives for God. To and for God, our flesh lives only to and for itself. You know, we can see quite easily other people that are self-centered. Notice that? Have you ever noticed people that are self-centered? Have you ever said that to yourself when you look in the mirror? Did you know you're self-centered too? We all have a problem with it. Every one of us have a problem with being self-centered. If you don't think so, you know, you maybe have reached this point in the area of your walk with God, but if God comes and asks you for your last $100 and said, go give it to somebody, you'd have a fight inside, I guarantee you. So that shows that you still got self having given you a problem. Or what if it was the last plate of food you had, like he came through Elijah and asked that widow woman, give me your last meal. She wasn't even born again. She was under the law. She didn't have the joy of the Lord and the Christ as her Savior like we have. He says, give me your, here's a man of God. Give me your last meal. What would you do? Well, what we know today, go ahead. You can have it because I want to go home anyhow. You know, we could think that way. But that wasn't God's will. See, if she gave away what she had, God gave her way more than she gave up. Hallelujah. Glory. How many of you have got less of God since you've been born again? No. You got more of God. And the more you get into the Word, the more God you get every day. The more you come to church, the more you hear the preaching, the teaching, the God's Word, the more you get of God. Can you get enough? No. That's a good question. When I get to heaven, can I get all of God there is? I don't think we're made with the capacity to have all the wisdom and knowledge that God has. I don't think you'll ever get it all through eternity. I don't think we got that capacity even then. What about that, Dean? You got any question, answer on that? There was more there than you could handle, wasn't there? Yeah, praise the Lord. So we got a long ways to go. Verse 11 of chapter 6, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the word reckon there means to have a continuous action or way of thinking. It's not a one-time thing. You can't reckon yourself dead and that decision's made so you don't ever have that problem. I wish it was that easy. But the word reckon here means a continuous way of thinking. That's the word we're getting into next Friday night on Bible study, logizomai. And it means to have a continual way of thinking. The same principle as when you were growing up as a child, you had a continuous way of asking questions, trying to get more information. How many know a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old, they'll just question you to death? I mean, they just, why? And if you give them a good answer, the right answer, why? You answer that, why? They never get enough. It's a continuous action. And that's how God wants us to think about our natural man thinking process. It's a continual action of on the cross. Every day, every morning you get up, he's got to go back on the cross. Every morning. Because if he don't put him on the cross, he's going to ruin your day. Spiritually, he's going to ruin your day. And we've had a lot of ruined days. That's like going somewhere in a car with a flat tire. Doesn't run right. You don't have the freedom you want. What about 2 flat tires? When you run in your flesh, you've got 4. Continuous action, thinking. Consider yourselves, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How many know that's exactly what the devil tempted Adam and Eve with in the Garden of Eden, was those 3 things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and he tempted Jesus with the same 3 things. And he's tempting you with the same 3 things. Jesus didn't give in. Adam and Eve did, and you and I do too many times. But it's one of those 3 things. But alive, you are to be alive. In other words, in this sense, it means to spend one's existence to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Spend your whole existence, daily, hourly, as your day progresses, spend it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin or the sin nature reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. That means you live in your born-again spirit on a daily basis. Live in that freedom. Know what that is. Hallelujah. It's a continuous thinking process also. Don't reckon yourselves, you reckon your body to be dead so you can reckon your life to God daily. And your members, that's your whole physical body. Now here he's talking about your physical body when it's under the control of your born-again spirit. That's as instruments of righteousness to God. You ever been tempted with 2 things, one's right and one's wrong? Which did you give into? See, that's yielding your members to the right situation or yielding it to the wrong situation. Well, I wanted to hit that guy, but I didn't. How many would like to hit somebody when they pull right out in front of you, make you slam on your brakes? See? It's just stuff like that. That's when the thinking process works. And I'm still working on that one, I'll tell you. God showed me one day, and you know, I was letting things bother me, and he showed me one day, he says, John, watch, that guy pulled out in front of me. Within a mile, somebody would pull out in front of them 90% of the time. It happened right back to him. Because as many people as there is on the road nowadays, I mean, somebody's pulling out in front of somebody all the time. Some are just close. That's the problem, say. But see, we all get tempted and tested. What am I doing with the temptation and the testing in my life? That's the only problem between me and God. You're being tempted and tested, and somebody doing it to you, don't bother me in the least. Well, my being tempted and tested don't bother you because you ain't even around. So why should I let yours bother me? See, we each one have to deal with ourselves. The only problem you and I got's who you see in the mirror. I tell you, it's something else. Verse 13 in the Living Translation, it says, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." I like that. It's a good translation. Use your whole body, spirit, soul, and body, as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. In Romans 6:14, it says, "For sin," and this should be our statement, "for sin shall not have dominion over me." You are not under law, but under grace. "Sin shall not have exercised rule or authority over me, for I am not under the works of the flesh." And that's what that word law there is talking about, the works of the flesh. They are under me, not me under that. I am under grace. Where would you be if it wasn't for the grace of God? You wouldn't be here today, I tell you that. None of us would. And the word grace there, it means the absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver, unearned and unmerited favor. Praise God. You're under that grace. If God looked at you for what you do in the flesh, where would you be? We'd be in trouble. He looks at us through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, 4, and 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Well, brother and sister, we're close to that. Now, the word inheritance means here, to an inheritance, in other words, you've been assigned a portion of the glory in the home and the presence of God for eternity. See, an inheritance in this earth, that means you've been assigned something that a person who has died has left you. That's your inheritance. That's been assigned to you. Well, Jesus assigned eternal life, all the fruit of the Spirit, the love for eternity in heaven with you. You have your assigned place up there. Thank you, Dean. Ain't that good? Hallelujah. That's already taken care of. That's done. Jesus said, "I go and prepare a place for you." He done did it. Excuse my language, but it's done. He didn't wait for you and me to come get saved before He did it. He just did it. Hallelujah. And when you leave here, you'll go there. I like what Dean says about that. He says, I wouldn't have to be told to do anything. My spirit knew exactly where to go. Yours does too. Don't worry about it. Don't even think about it. God's got it all taken care of. The second you leave here, you're home. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do you like your freedom? Our 4th of July is much greater than the one we have here. And I'm happy with what we got here, but boy, I'm happier with what I have there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to close there. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. We need to celebrate our 4th of July every day. Yes, amen. We have that freedom day and night. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior and you want to get born again, then you come on up here after we dismiss. I don't want anybody to leave the building if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and you haven't had your 4th of July in your spirit yet. You need it. We all have to have it to make it home. Praise God. Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank you for your word, for your anointing. Thank you for the understanding and wisdom of the Holy Spirit that you have given us. Father, may each one of us think and read your word and draw from you each and every day this week and live in that freedom that we have been given by the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.